Blog Talk Radio.
Established timelines based upon what has already happened
in the scripture, in history. So I pray that everyone has had a blessed week, and that yesterday we had the new moon service or the beginning of month service. It is always a blessing to me to have that particular lesson, or not really that service, because God commands that we keep it. And so it's a time that I look forward to every month. I want to say welcome to everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, on the internet in general. Wherever you may be, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. We're going to go ahead. I want to welcome those in North America and South America, those that are on the internet, whether you are in Africa, whether you are on the European continent, what they call the Middle East, which is still part of the African continent, the Far East, European theater, the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. We're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith on this evening, and I pray that, you know, there's something that for our listeners that, I need to find my glass. Here we go. That you have a statement of faith that you live by, and that, you know, you try to do that standard. We are endeavoring to get ready for Feast of Trumpets, which starts on next month, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, the Day of Atonement, the Feast Days of the Most High, the Fall Feast Days of the Most High, are coming up very quickly, and so we just want to make sure that we are preparing ourselves for those. If you have vacation time, you've already put in for vacation time, since the world doesn't not really celebrate these days, especially in the West. But, you know, if we are believing in the scriptures and we celebrate the feast days of the Most High. All right, with that being said, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we go before the Most High with our statement of faith. And let me... lit up here. Our statement of faith: I believe that all given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. My whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify You on today, and we lift You up, and we magnify Your name, O Yah. We extol Thee, Father, for truly You are worthy of all glory, all honor, and all praise. For there is none like You, O Elohim, no, not one. And so, Father, we give You glory, honor, and praise on this day. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your loving kindness and Your tender mercy. We thank You for life and health and strength today. We thank You for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe Your Shabbat, a day of rest that You have ordained that Your people should eat perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that You will forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that You hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. And Father, we won't complain about our punishment, but this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love for your love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you have called them aside, that they would hear your voice, and that they would come, and that they would obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this evening, we ask that you would smile upon this work, and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar.
Your name is, yeah, your name is God.
All right. Amen. 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 Our scripture for this evening comes from the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Elohim, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to start this off. As I said, this is not to interpret prophecy. This is simply to go over some of the prophetic scriptures that pertain to the last day. And we want to become familiar with these for the simple reason that we are in those times. And as I've been looking at this in the past, I'm seeing more and more where the end times are here and those prophecies are being fulfilled and the exact timing. Now that's a whole nother topic. But I just want to make, in this series, I want to start going over from the Old Testament and then the New Testament, end time prophecy. Okay, and then we will come back later and later lessons in this series, and we will start putting them in order as I understand them to be from the scriptures. You know, everything is not verse 1, 2, 3, 4 in a book, and you got the whole thing. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And so they have to be placed in order. And so as the Most High continues to deal with me in this area, you know, I pray that not only to me, but I pray that he gives somebody understanding in the end time prophecies, because we really need to know what's coming so that we can be prepared and that we know that it is from the Most High, that it is something that he is doing. You know, we need to understand that and live by that. And so let me bring up my document. Okay, somebody got closed out. So we see that men in the end times, in the last days, they're really going to be lovers of self. And it's going to be perilous times to come because men don't really care about anyone but themselves. Individually, and this is, you know, what the world is teaching. When I was doing a series on false salvation, and it was talking about brotherly love and the love of Elohim, men are going to start using their standards to determine what's right, what man says is right, versus, you know, what the Most High says is right. And so all of these things are going to feed into these end times prophecies. Start looking at some of these prophecies. And like I said, I'm not trying to place them in order or anything, but want to just look at these. Some of these prophecies have already been fulfilled. Some of these are dual prophecies. They were fulfilled at an earlier time, and they also have an end time application. Some of them we are still waiting to happen. And the reason that we are wanting to understand the prophecy is because the prophecy proves that the Most High is the Most High. He says, only I can tell you the end from the beginning. Before it happens, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And then when you see it happen, then you know that I exist. If you don't have a personal relationship, just like when Messiah said, hey, if you don't believe me because they believe the work, believe what you see. And so we have to be looking at world events and be attuned in the spirit with the Most High. And he has to be revealing to us just what is happening and how these things relate to his plan. And so in the end days, he's already told us that men are just going to be lovers of self. They're going to be high-minded. They're going to be lovers of pleasure more than they love the Most High. Lovers of self. And so that is the condition that we can expect to find men in. 38. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 38. And as I said, these are not in any particular order, but they are prophecies concerning the last days. And, you know, it's always good to have a list of everything, and then you go back and you study it, and you pray on it, and then you ask the Most High to set it in context and set it in order for you so that you can come to the truth and an understanding in his word. So Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 21. And this is talking about being confused in the last battle. Men are not going to know what they're really fighting for. They're going to be told they're going to war for a certain thing. But really, they don't understand that it is Antichrist that is leading them and that they are confused as to what is going on. So Ezekiel 38 and verse 21, and I will call a sword against them throughout all my mountains, saith Yah. Elohim, every man's sword shall be against his brother. So we have the Most High prophesying that there's not going to be unity in the last days. He's calling it out, and he's going to use Antichrist to do this, but every man's sword shall be against his brother. Because men will be looking at each other, and I got the truth. No, I got the truth. We have, you know, the love of Elohim. We have Messiah. No, and you don't have him, so forth and so on. Okay. And all of this is sent to divide people. Now, the Most High said that he sent this word in the last days to divide people. That you have to be searching for him, truly searching for him. And it's going to tear up houses. It's going to tear up homes. It's going to set mother against daughter, father against son, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, so forth and so on. Go to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. And we're going to get verse 4, verses 1 through 4. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. The burden of the word of Yah for Israel, saith Yah, which stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the sea both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Now, this prophecy is concerning and has already happened once in 70 AD, when the Romans came and they destroyed the nation of Israel, which at that time was Judah, the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom, a couple of centuries before, had already been taken away. And so when Messiah got there, it was really, even though they were calling it Israel, it was really the kingdom of Judah. And the Most High said that he would have Jerusalem seized, meaning surrounded, okay? And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Now, this portion is referencing the end time. So we have the first fulfillment of it. And then in verse 3 and 4, we have the end time prophecy of this as well. In that day, said Yah, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open my eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. So confusion, this blindness represents confusion. not knowing what to do, not knowing what they're really fighting against, not being able to come against the Most High, which is really what they are doing. They're coming against him in these ways. And so he said he is going to blind them, confusion in the last battle. So in 70 AD, they were seized. They didn't know what to do, okay? And they fell to the sword. They fell to the Roman empire. In the last days, it will be the same way in the end time. So to Zechariah chapter 14, the book of Zechariah chapter 14. And let's get verse 13. Start in verse 12. Zechariah 14 and verse 12 and 13. And this shall be the plague wherewith Yah will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Now we know in the book of Revelation, he tells us that in the last battle, when the world has been under Messiah for 1,000 years, then Satan is let back out for a short while. And he goes out and he deceives the nation, come up against Jerusalem, and then surround the camps of the saints. And he sends down fire out of heaven and consumes them. So this prophecy in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 12 is speaking to those end times and confirming what he has already written in Revelation. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. Now, there's only one type of fire that we have seen in modern time that does this, and that's a nuclear bomb. And so in a nuclear explosion, your flesh off of your body. Your eyes, if you look directly at that blast, then your eyes are consumed out of their eye sockets. If you're close enough, then your tongue is going to be consumed out of your mouth. That's a horrible way to die. You know, so the heat is so fervent and or the flash is so bright that if you look at it, it literally burns your eyes out. Okay? And then if you're close enough, if you're within a couple of miles, then your flesh is going to be consumed off the bones by the blast. And so the further away you get, the less the, you're within the range where you're close enough for your eyes to be consumed or the tongue out of your mouth or the flesh off of your bones, then you are in, you're either dead or in really bad shape. And so he says he would do this in the last days, in the very last days. Okay, so this is speaking of after the 1,000-year reign. Daniel chapter 7. Now, most people are familiar with the book of Daniel and prophecy. So this is the one that, one of the, you know, chapters that a lot of the churches use. You know, this is the one that tells about the Gentile reign. Daniel chapter 7. And this is talking about the end times are going to be 7 years in length as far as the tribulation goes. And then 3.5 years of that time is prophetic because that's the time that is going to be given to Antichrist to do his deal. And then the last half of those 3.5 years is going to be given to the Most High. So you got 3.5 years where you're going to be tempted by the Antichrist. You're going to be threatened by the Antichrist. He's going to make you, make those who will worship him. He's going to be given power over all the saints. Now, my question is, if he's given power over the saints, how did he get that power, number one, and I thought the saints weren't supposed to be here that last 3.5 years. But the Most High says, you know, everybody who's alive at that time will have to go through the tribulation. So the rapture and the catching up is really at the last trump. That's at the last judgment of the Most High. And the dead in Messiah shall rise. That last trumpet happens at the end of the tribulation. So the saints have to be here and the saints have to be tested. They're not going to escape, you know, this escapism concerning the last days. That's what, you know, a lot of interpretation is done. But there's a conflict there because the Most High says that the Antichrist will be given power over the saints. And those, you know, everybody has to go through that testing, that trial, come out on the other side, either having lost their life or resisted the Antichrist and was chased. They survived in some kind of way. Or they took the number, and now they are condemned to the lake of fire. You know, and so it doesn't matter if you think you're saved, your faith will be tested during that time. So Daniel chapter 7. And we're going to be getting verse 25. 7 and verse 25. And the word of the Most High reads, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High." Now, this is talking about Antichrist. And, well, actually, let's do this. I was going to deal with the time frame, but let's go ahead and just read this entire prophecy. Let's start in verse 1, Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 1, because this is really all end time. So Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 1. "Here of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, there were four winds of the heaven drove upon the great sea. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse or different one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. So this beast comes up out of the water. He's a lion with eagle's wings, but then his wings are plucked away from him. And it was lifted from the earth and made to stand upon feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, the second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, three ribs in its mouth, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh." Well, if he's devouring much flesh, he's not talking about the flesh of animals, he's talking about the flesh of men. "After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl." So now this leopard has four wings like a bird. "The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it." Now, these beasts, I will tell you now, represent different kingdoms, Gentile kingdoms at that, that would rule the world and have control over Israel, the Most High people. This is why they're important, okay? "And after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts, different from all the beasts before it. And it had 10 horns." So this, you know, this beast is not really flesh and blood. It's different from the other beasts. It's not an eagle. It's not a lion. It's not a bear. It's not a leopard. This one has the metal. And it's different than all the other beasts. And it's going to break in pieces all these other kingdoms. And so we got to understand that this is a mechanized kingdom. This is unnatural. "And I considered the horn, and behold, there came up among them another little horn." Now, this beast had 10 horns. Horns stand for authority. So 10 rulers. And over the period of time of this particular kingdom, there's going to be 10 rulers. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them, those 10 horns, a little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by its root. So the 11th horn that comes up is going to pluck up 3 of these other horns, which represent leaders of countries, or leaders of countries, okay, because this is a conglomeration. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So this 11th horn that plucked up 3 of the horns, leaving 8 horns total, that union is going to end up being 8 strong, and a total of 10 kings. But this last horn, which is the 11th one, it plucked up 3 of them. So that leaves, including it, 8 nations. And it's going to rule these 8 nations. They're going to give their power to this particular being, this kingdom. And behold, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Now, in this vision, Daniel is seeing the Ancient of Days, okay? And the Ancient of Days is always a reference to the Most High. But the Son of Man is also a reference to the Most High. And one of the things that I think people may or may not understand about visions, when you have a dream, in your dream, you can have different symbols that represent different things, or you can have a different symbol that represents the same thing. So in Daniel's dream, in his vision, his garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. The same description that they give of Messiah in Revelation chapter 1. Okay? And his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. So it tells you that the Most High's throne is on fire. But when we do a study about the Most High, the descriptions of the Most High is that, you know, Ezekiel saw him, and that he looked like fire from his waist up to his head, and from his waist down to his feet. He looked like fire. He sits on a throne that's made out of fire, and the wheels of that throne are burning. Now, Ezekiel sees wheels within wheels. Daniel just says the wheels. He doesn't describe the wheels in any detail. So we're told that the Ancient of Days will come and sit, and he's going to judge, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. A thousand or thousand thousand is at least a million. They don't say how many thousands, just thousands. That could be anywhere from 2 to however many you want to make it, however many is going to be there. Okay, so millions. A million to millions are going to minister unto him, 10,000, that's 100 million, stood before him. The judgment was set. Now, when you go to the great white throne judgment in Revelation, it says that the throne was set up and the throne. But on the throne in Revelation is Messiah. And so here it's telling you it's the Ancient of Days. Okay? And the books were open. Now, we read in Revelation chapter that were open were the books of your work. The angels are recording everything that every man does. And so your works are written down. And then every man is judged according to his work. And then the other set of books that are open, or the other book that is open, is the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, so let's go to Revelation chapter 20 real quick, and then we'll come back here to about verse 15, 16, somewhere in there. Just starting verse. Let's actually start. Because remember, the Ancient of Days that come and sit. So let's start in verse saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Them are the dead, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. So we got books being opened, and then we got the Lamb's book of life being opened. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book. Okay, so the books in Daniel are the books of your work, because there's only one Lamb book of life. According to their work, gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their work. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. So there's some real heavy implications here in Revelation chapter 20 and Daniel chapter 7, because everybody that, if there are people here at this time that are did not make the first resurrection, then not everybody in the world is going to make the first resurrection. And there are going to be people who meet the second resurrection. Now, we are told in verses 1 through 4 in this chapter that only those people who die for the word of Elohim or the testimony of Mashiach make the first resurrection. The church is teaching everybody that, hey, you believe in Messiah and you repent and you're baptized, you're going to be resurrected when he returns. But it tells us in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, that only those people who died, gave their life for the word of Elohim or for the testimony of Messiah, literally gave their life, were beheaded for that, for those two reasons, or didn't take the mark of the beast. So there's coming a time when everybody in the world at that time will have to make a decision. Those that survive the tribulation and don't take the mark of the beast, they will reign with him and they will make the first resurrection. But the vast majority of people are going to follow, the Antichrist. Okay, and even though it's talked about, you know, he's talked about all the time, because men are lovers of themselves and not lovers of Elohim, they're going to choose themselves. Because most people don't really believe after death. They don't really believe that there is a resurrection. And they'd rather put, you know, this is all the life I know. Go back up to verse 1, Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 4 or 5. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season, a little while, set upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Mashiach, of Yeshua, and for the word of Elohim. They were beheaded, they were killed, which had not worshipped the beast. See, there's only really one time in history where this can happen. When Satan takes on flesh and comes as Antichrist and tries to duplicate everything that the Most High has done through Messiah. And people are looking for Messiah, or are looking for Messiah, and they're going to believe Antichrist is him. He's going to be doing miracles. He's going to cause, you know, an image to act like a man. So the people who get to make, who get to be part of the first resurrection, they died for the word of Elohim or for the witness of Messiah. They had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead, in their hands, and they, these people who qualify in this verse, verse 4, they get to reign with him 1,000 years. Well, what about everybody else? Everybody who ever lived, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So if you are not killed for the word of Messiah, the word of God, the testimony of Messiah, if you're not killed for that, then you don't qualify. If you take the mark of the beast or worship his image or take his number in your hands, you don't qualify. So it is, you know, if you resist Antichrist, he's going to have you killed. And you're going to be killed for the Most High. You're going to be killed for the word of Elohim, the testimony of Messiah. Because you're not going to take the mark, because you're going to say, hey, you're not the true Messiah. And I will not take the mark, and I will not bow down before you. He's going to have you killed. But these are the ones that get to reign with him 1,000 years. Everybody else, they don't get up until after the 1,000 years is over. So this is what we got to understand. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, no authority. But they shall be priests of Elohim and of Mashiach, and reign with them 1,000 years. What Daniel is talking about. Daniel's talking about after this time, when the Most High sits to take judgment, when the Ancient of Days sits to take judgment, sit on his throne, then that is where Daniel picks it up at. Okay? He said there's going to be a 3.5-year time period in this and a 7-year time. So let's go back. And the Ancient of Days sits, whose garment was as white as snow, and the hairs of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great word, which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain. Now, this beast, remember, it represents people. People, these nations, have to be defeated. And I beheld till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. The burning flame is the lake of fire. As concerning the rest of the beast, the rest of the nations, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their eyes, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. A season in the scriptures usually is 1 year, and a time a half a year. Saying that applies here. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Now, when people read this prophecy, because you have the Ancient of Days, and you have the Son of Man, they believe that it's two separate individuals. But it's a vision, and the Most High is telling a story. And there was given him dominion, and glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. The Most High in the flesh of Messiah. dominion is going to be given him, and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now, Daniel is looking at this vision, and he's kind of confused. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Now, he sees that the Most High and the Son of Man take dominion in the end, but it's still, this vision still troubles him. And the reason that it troubles him is, you know, I believe from reading it, is that he sees that the Most High and the Son of Man are one and the same. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the thing. These great beasts which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, the terrible beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. 10 horns that were in his head, and of the others which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than the others. He was shorter and thicker. That's what stout is. I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. This little horn, stout horn that was different from the other horns, this nation, this conglomeration that came up, prevailed against the saints. The leader of this stout horn is Antichrist. We are told even here in Daniel that he prevails, but they are not supposed to be there, according to the church and the rapture doctrine, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first king, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and time, and the dividing of time. So a time is 1 year, time is 2 years, so that's 3 years, and the dividing of time, a half is a year, 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So it switches from Antichrist to Messiah, the Most High. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognition, my thought, much troubles me. And my confidence, my mental feelings changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. So probably wondering why the Most High would allow Antichrist to have dominion over the saints. It's also probably wondering too, well, the Son of Man and the Most High look exactly alike. And this vision, you know, why are these things this way? It bothered him. And it bothers a lot of people, because a lot of people don't want to accept that the Most High, that Yeshua is the Most High in flesh. It's something they don't want to accept. three of them, and when they see this vision, when they hear this vision, then they see two beings. They see the Ancient of Days, and they see the Son of Man. But the Son of Man is mentioned as the Most High in flesh. And so we got to understand that this vision, he said, hey, I'm going to win out. I'm going to have what I want. But I'm going to test all those that say they belong to me, that say they believe in me, that say they trust in me. And those that really don't know the truth, trust me, they will worship, take the mark, because they will try to save their own lives. So we see this in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 12. And verse 7. Daniel chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Actually, let's go back to Daniel chapter 9. No need to skip to a chapter and going back. So we did 7. Let's go back to chapter 9. Let's just start in verse 1. Daniel chapter 9, starting in verse 1. In the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Now we know that the leopard and the bear and the lion represented nations. And so the Medes were split. They were run by a general, and I forget his name, but they were split into four. When the general was killed and defeated, then the Medes split the kingdom into four. Those were the four wings on the left. Okay? So speaking during that time, which was king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of Yah came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And the desolation is not the ruin of Jerusalem or the emptying of Jerusalem, but it is the emptying of Jerusalem of us. Because every time the Most High has punished Jerusalem, he has had us removed as a people. And when it's desolation, then there's only a few left, not enough with any power. That's what that desolation means. So in this case, then that he figured out by the book of Jeremiah that the Most High was going to cause Jerusalem to be desolate, few Jews in it, and they wouldn't be in control 70 years. And I set my face unto Yah Elohim to seek my prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto Yah my Elohim and made my confession and said, O Yah, the great and dreadful Elohim, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them the commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgment. So Daniel is telling, you know, us all along what the problem with Israel is. They don't keep his commandments. They depart from his precepts, line upon line, and from his judgment. If this happens, this is what I want you to do. No, we're not doing that. Okay. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our king, our princes, and our fathers, to all the people of the land. Oh, yeah, righteousness belongeth unto you, but unto us confusion of faith. As at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, this is about the scattering of Israel. They've already been scattered. So it says, no matter where Yah has driven us, and during what captivity, it doesn't matter until the end comes. then we are, if we are find ourselves scattered, then we know it's because we forsook the judgments of the Most High. We forsook his precepts. We forsook his commandments. And unto all Israel that are near or that are far off, through all the countries, whether thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. So Israel, we have always been the people of the Most High. Problem is that when we were disobedient, he would scatter us. Oh yeah, to us belongeth confusion of faith, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against to Yah, our Elohim, belongs mercy and forgiveness, so we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of Yah, our Elohim, to walk in his law, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yet all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. We are still there today. We don't want to obey his voice. We want to come up with our own understanding. We want to come up with, you know, what we believe is right and what we believe is wrong, and not do what he says, what he has had written. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses and the servant of Elohim, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his word, which he spake against us and against our judges, that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem. And it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet may we not our prayer before Yah, our Elohim, that we might turn from our iniquity and understand thy truth. Therefore has Yah watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For Yah, our Elohim, is righteous in all his works which he does, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, Yah, our Elohim, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Yah, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. And for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now, therefore, O Yah, O our Elohim, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for Yah's sake. O my Elohim, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolation. Call by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy. So Daniel is telling Israel and begging the Most High to listen to us, not because of our righteousness, but because of his great mercy. Hear our prayers. But Yah says, I don't hear the prayers of sinners, of the unrighteous. I don't hear the prayers of the unlawful. Oh, Yah, hear. Oh, Yah, forgive. Oh, Yah, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. Oh, my Elohim, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before Yah, my Elohim, for the holy mountain of my Elohim, yet while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, the evening prayer. And he informed me and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. And at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon the holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, and unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 3 score and 2 weeks. 7 weeks, 3 score is 60. 2 weeks, so 69 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even the troublous time. And after 3 score, 60 and 2 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. So there's 60, there's a total of 69 weeks. After 62 weeks, Messiah is going to be in the world, and he's going to be, what, cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So it's going to be a week that this covenant, by whom this person's going to confirm it. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. So because there's so many abominations and people doing whatever they want to do, them to become desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So 70 weeks, Daniel is prophesied, but then he's also given a prophecy about Messiah and the end times. So Messiah is supposed to have 7 weeks, 7 years. Messiah ministry was only 3.5 years. He's got another 3.5 years to do. That's going to come in the end day, in the end time. Talking about the last days, there's going to come a time as has never been on the earth before. Daniel chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And give me a hot second. Starting in verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, everybody that shall be found written in the Lamb's book of life. But there's going to come a time of tribulation that has never been seen on the earth. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So everybody is going to get eternal life, some everlasting life, and some everlasting shame and contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the word and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So we know that knowledge has to increase. And many of the things that are written that are set up will be revealed. And if we are mindful, then we can come to some understanding, but there's some things that are not given, okay, that are not even given to men. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there was stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river. So Daniel is seeing Gabriel, and Gabriel's telling him, hey, came to, you know, to tell you this. And now Daniel sees two more. And the other on that side of the river bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, and times, and a half. A time is 1 year, time is 2 years, and a half time is a half a year. You have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. All these things shall be finished. So Daniel seeing a vision, he says, how long shall this go on? They told 3.5 years. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, oh my Lord, and in this case, let me look this up. That's a good place to look up. What this word Lord here, what word is actually used there? In Hebrew. Verse 8. Adonai, my master, the sovereign one, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. See, people want to be purified and they want to be made white, but they don't want to be tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. 1,290 days. Divide that by 365. That could also be years in past. But that might have to even be divided by 360. 2, 9,